Politically, things boiled over in 1848, not in England. There you had the riots and massive demonstrations of the Chartist movement. But in France, all the political exiles and malcontents from elsewhere in Europe seemed to have gathered in Paris, where they clamored for the creation of a new age. You get a sense of the mood from reading some of the novels of the period. It was a time when decadence seemed to run rampant. King Louis Philippe, the so-called bourgeois monarch, became increasingly unpopular. At one point, it was said that it wasn't even safe for him to review his own troops. He was caught between those on the left, who called for radical change, and those on the right, who called for a return to the glory days of old under a strong leader. When revolution broke out in Paris in February of 1848, it precipitated revolutions in other major cities on the continent. But many had the sense, certainly Karl Marx did, that the failure of the revolutions of 1848 was just a temporary setback. The march of modernity was too strong to be bottled up by the outdated structure of old-fashioned monarchies, and that was what you had restored to the thrones of Europe once the revolutions had fizzled. Finally, intellectual change was everywhere. First, there were the vestiges. We've run into the impact of that book several times already, but I want to focus today on the continent and Germany, since scientific materialism was most visible there. The intellectual harbinger of the movement was the materialism of another German who wrote early in the decade of the 1840s. This was Ludwig Feuerbach, a theologian whose book on the essence of Christianity rocked Germany in 1841. I mentioned Feuerbach's book briefly a few lectures ago. Let me take a minute and tell you a little more about Feuerbach's message. Feuerbach had been schooled in the idealism of the philosopher Georg Hegel, but he came to the conviction that Hegel had been wrong to insist that the realm of the ideal took precedence over that of the material. Feuerbach argued that the act of sensation of the real world was just as primary and important as the act of thinking. He put it this way, sensing is already thinking. Being a theologian, Feuerbach proceeded to reflect on the meaning of his newfound materialistic emphasis for religion. It meant, he concluded, that we have to be realists about our situation. We have to realize that many of our idealistic notions are not realistic. Take the doctrines of Christianity. For example, the idea of God. We invest in God attributes of love, knowledge, and power. But if we're realistic, we'll realize what's really going on here. Religious ideas are really human ideas that have been projected into the heavens. We humans crave love, so we make God all-loving. We're curious about the world, so we make God omniscient. We want power, so God is all-powerful. It's time we wake up to what's going on. It's as if we take the measure of ourselves standing small on earth and then project that measure into the heavens. By the time we view what we've projected, it's so magnified that only God could possess it. The message of Feuerbach's book was that it was time we grew up. It's time we exposed religion as a mere projection of human needs. Humans had invented a domain of divine existence which they then claimed transcended our ordinary experience of the material world. They created an illusory realm, which they then claimed to be real. In fact, he said, religion was one grand anthropomorphism. The young Karl Marx found Feuerbach's materialism to represent an inspiring inversion of the Hegelian idealism that had been dominating the philosophical scene. Marx's famous theses on Feuerbach, which were written in 1845, show appreciation for what Feuerbach did in his book on Christianity. In fact, one of his most well-known declarations, you know, the one about religion being the opiate of the people, that's very Feuerbachian. But Marx took Feuerbach one step farther. He wanted to incorporate one more element into the realistic perspective that Feuerbach called for, that of practical action. Thesis 11, the most famous one, made that clear. Philosophers, wrote Marx, have only interpreted the world in various ways. The point is to change it. So Marx reformulated Feuerbach's materialism into a materialism of action, what he called dialectical materialism. That was to be the appropriate philosophical foundation for social change.